You're listening to The Offside Rule. We get it. World Cup specials.
Well, we're down on Copacabana Beach. We've just had an interview ourselves with H&J on TalkSport, haven't we, Kate?
We have. It was very nice to see them as well, all kind of Brazilianed up. And I'm... I feel so pleased to have seen Andy in a small pair of trunks as well and filming his Southern Comfort advert. We'll have to put a link up of that. Nearly 10,000 views. Someone likes it, Andy, I tell you.
Yeah, we've dragged you down here to have a chat with us now. Actually, we'll start with the Southern Comfort advert. Kate's obviously a big fan. How long did that take to film? And I know that it's something that's been mentioned to you before, that you look a little bit like the man from the advert.
I do. I haven't quite got his curly hair. I wish I did. And actually, we've got a brilliant guy here, James Bragg, who basically researched the advert, and he had all the shots lined up, so it was a relatively easy process.
He shot it on Steadicam, I mean, the sort of thing you see used by Sky at matches. I mean, he did some great shots, did a very good job, didn't he?
He did. But the thing is, when you're working with Paul, it's never easy. I mean, he's standing off going, what name was it? Dave Angel, you're saying?
He was walking a bit like Dave Angel from The Far Show, so the music should have been Moonlight Shadow.
Seriously, and I am Britain's worst actor, as everybody knows. But we had an incident afterwards where, I was just telling you before, I had to swap my glasses. I wear sort of very strong-sighted glasses. And I was wearing the cameraman's sunglasses, and we kind of swapped over various things. And by the time it came for me to swap them back, he'd lost my glasses. And we searched the beach. I couldn't, because I couldn't even... I was standing there. I had to be led back across the road, like a sort of, you know, guide dog, really. And, well, I wasn't the guide dog. The people who were leading me, obviously. Yeah. And I lost the glasses. I never got them back.
I think they'd been lifted, actually. No, we got them. I think they'd been lifted. And also, Gareth Southgate lost his trainers.
Yeah.
He went for a quick swim. Few seconds, came back, gone.
That's an Offside Rule podcast exclusive.
Yeah.
We haven't done that on the show yet.
We haven't done that on the show. That's yours. Gareth Southgate, trainers gone.
We feel absolutely honoured for that. And it's no surprise, although anyone who knows their football here may think twice about taking a penalty with those if the need ever arises.
No.
So am I right in saying that you filmed this advert with no amount of vision at all? Because you're a bit like me. Whenever you take off your glasses, I'm like Velma. I'm completely useless. I can't define anyone's faces. It's all just blobs, basically.
Yeah.
So you kind of film the whole of the advert without being able to see properly. Does that explain the slightly comedic walk?
No, that's just the way I walk. No, I had a piece of string on the beach. I was just as a guide string. No, I can't see. You know, it's just I can't make anything out too clearly. But people seem to like it, so it's a lot of fun. And I know you've been doing a lot of video stuff, and we have, which is quite unusual for us, really, because we don't normally get seen in vision. I think people have had quite a shock.
Well, let's just tell us a little bit about your setup here. So you've got your show, which you've had, and you're out here for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the day, I believe, is yours to go and experience what you like.
Yeah, well, the show's really has been become about the experience. So our job was to add a kind of bit of colour. There was no point in us being here just doing football stuff. There's other people who can do that better than us. So, I mean, there's been elements of it, and we have football chats, but essentially it's to go out and experience what it's like to watch a World Cup and be in the country while the World Cup's on. And we just sort of bring that to the show the following day. We're always making notes and writing down what we're doing and recording it on the phone. So we're ready. We're doing little packages. We went to Belgium, Russia yesterday and recorded it basically from the point we got off at the Maracanã, where the crowds were mad, getting into the stadium, what the sight lines are like, people around us, fans, what went on in the game. And the fact, little things like people took ages to come back after half-time, even though you could get a beer and food quite quickly, actually. That was one of the things that was right about it. It wasn't massive queues if you wanted a drink. There was enough vendors there. People came back very slow. The people next to us took 25 minutes to come back.
Minutes. I said to Paul at the time, they might as well just... We came back with a handbag. They might as well just gone to McDonald's and watched the game in there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so hard getting tickets for the World Cup. Why would you do that? It's incredible. But anyway, they were hungry.
Yeah, I'm sure they were. So, yeah, that's been our remit, and hopefully we've been doing a decent job.
That and taking the mickey out of Ian Abrahams, which is basically that's at least half the show. Half the show, at least, I'd say.
He's had an awful lot of stick, hasn't he, certainly?
Did you think... You saw him earlier. You saw him in his Brazil show. How sexy was that for you two, really? It's like George Clooney, wasn't it?
Well, I'm not sure what I want to say about the vision of Ian Abrahams in his Brazil shirt.
It's quite low. I tell you what, it's quite low cut because of the nape of the neck. And we were saying, because he's slightly moved up.
A lovely cleavage.
So, I mean, so he really needed a necklace to draw your attention away from his cleavage. You know, it needed...
He's basically bought a rip-off shirt,
yeah,
hasn't he?
Yeah,
because
he has.
It isn't an official shirt.
No,
it kind of looks like BHS have done their own version.
Yeah.
But he's also rather kind of hopefully got... got sort of Neymar written across it as well. Yeah. And I couldn't think of two more contrasting things than the Moose and Neymar.
Yeah, he's not going to be mistaken. He's not a Neymar lookalike, is he?
No, he certainly isn't. Well, let's next talk about England, because part of your journey and being here for the first couple of weeks has been seeing England. What have you made of it all? Because it's been a bit of a dampener, I guess, for your trip.
The thing was, you say seeing England, we didn't have tickets for the, weren't lucky like you two, we didn't have tickets for the game. We watched it in the spawn of the sponsors' hotels, and it was quite interesting because they didn't have quite as many people as they thought they were going to have. So they thought it would be a very good idea to go and drag in a load of England blockheads off the street and bring them into the bar and give them free beer.
Yeah.
Yes, go and Paul, take it from there. It wasn't great, was it?
No, they were just, they were, at one point, I have to paraphrase the language, but they were shouting, off you foreigners, screaming at the screen while the game was on. So continue in someone else's country watching a game of football on their hospitality, which was a bit much.
One bloke from Newcastle, I can't believe it, has free beer. I think they died and gone to heaven. I mean, you know, it was incredible, really. So it was an interesting experience, difficult experience. Watching England lose isn't great, but watching it there was even less great, to be honest.
Yeah, there's been a few England fans sort of going through, most of them sort of decent, reasonable ones, and there's been some in the fan park. But, you know, say the big invading armies here were Argentina when we first got here, who just took the place over. And then the Chileans, who were brilliant. And they sort of, they were inclusive in their party. The Argentinians sort of partied amongst each other. They were a little kind of enclave, whereas the Chileans mixed with everybody and were very friendly and very nice. They had a slightly different take on it to the Argentinian fans, some of them anyway.
Being in radio, we very rarely get recognised. In fact, we never get recognised. But there I was in the Copacabana. This bloke came up to me and said, "You're Andy Jacobs, aren't you, from Talk Sport?" I was quite knocked out about that. It was great.
Fantastic. We've seen, actually, a lot of England supporters. Well, certainly when England were still in it, we found a lot of England supporters from other countries. So we found that whilst there might not be, you know, huge amounts of England fans here, there were certainly enough people from other countries supporting us as well. And I think people take kindly to us. I don't know whether it's because they know that we'll probably buy them a free beer if they support our country. but we found that, and also a lot of South American fans supporting each other, which you wouldn't have thought, because there are obviously some very certain rivalries there, aren't there? But I think there's certainly been a unity amongst the South American teams that I hadn't expected.
Well, not Brazil-Argentina,
no.
Because in the fan zone, we watched Argentina play in the fan zone, and Messi go when they won the
first
game. Yeah, 2-1, wasn't it? First game. And the Brazilians were all cheering for the opposition, weren't they?
Yeah, and the Argentina fans, of course, right behind England. They really wanted us to go through.
Absolutely. They sing a song. They bounce. They were doing it on the tubes. There was some footage of the metro going to the game, and the train is actually bouncing up and down. And they bounce at games and in the fan zone. And there's a line in the song, which is, Andy,
cheers, "He who doesn't jump is an Englishman."
So they're suggesting that we don't have their passion. We wouldn't do that because we're English. We don't have their passion for football. So they acknowledge that in the song.
Yeah, we do, but we just don't show it in the same way, you know. So we are passionate, and we're all, I can see you two as well, we're all very disappointed. We joke about it because we're stoic and we're British and English, and we sort of make fun of it. But in the end, you know, the truth of the matter is, it would have been better if England had gone through. It would have been better for all of us and more fun and something to look forward to. But it's not the way it is, so we'll just have to keep going and enjoy the other teams who are still here. Oh, our drinks have arrived. That's good. I see Lindsay ordered a Caipirinha. Yeah. Blimey.
I know.
Any excuse, Andy. Any excuse.
Yeah. And at the end of the interview, she'll be like, "I love you too," honestly.
They are so strong. On the beach along here, we're in a little one of the kiosks right on Copacabana here. But further along the beach, if you head down to Ipanema, they sell them for about £1.50. £1. It's taking your breath away, that, isn't it? £1.50 for a cocktail. Yeah. And we were slightly worried the alcohol in might make us go blind. But they were sensational. They're really good.
I was about to ask whether that was rum or petrol in there, Lindsay. Yeah. Probably hard to tell.
You know those petrol stations in the middle of the Copacabana? Yeah. That's where they get
that's
it
where
from.
They make it.
That explains it all. potent. In terms of other little anecdotes that you've had along your journey here, I mean, what's been your standout little memories? It might have just been a couple of observations. I know you've been making notes on each of your days.
Yeah, I've got no memory whatsoever. Everybody listens to the show. So if I don't have my book in front of me, I'll say, "Well, I don't know what happened. I can't remember any of it." Paul will, though.
I had a bit of a weird moment. It was like just after Chile had won their game, and we'd been sort of dancing up and down with the Chileans and celebrating with them. And I came out, there's a little press area of the fan zone, and I came out there, they got the separate little loos. So I come out the loo, and this Chilean guy was waiting to go in. We just looked at each other, and we hugged out. I've got absolutely no idea. I've never met the man before. I just went, Ray, and he sort of, we had a bit of a hug, and he spoke English, and I was saying, you're fantastic, you're great, and the fans are fantastic. This little, lovely little World Cup moment out of nowhere. Mm. A little bit of a man moment.
Lovely, yeah. And of course, he's doing the show with Paul next week. I'm off.
You've roped him in.
And we did have a... I'm fortunate to have come here before, and I stayed at the Copacabana Palace, gave myself and the wife a bit of a treat. And it's a beautiful hotel, you know, Sepp Blatter staying there. Of course, you can imagine it's the best hotel around. And I sort of booked 2 months in advance the Sunday brunch. And we went there, and we had a few friends and everything, and somebody said, can Alan Shearer come along? So he did, and it was great spending time with him. And he really was he was lovely,
yeah,
wasn't he?
Very interesting, very talking to him.
Very unspoiled. And that was a highlight for me.
Yeah, it was good. It was great fun, wasn't it? Yeah, it was on good form.
That and going to meet the World Cup referees. Darren Cann, Howard Webb's linesman, loves the show. We're really flattered. I mean, I'm not just saying loves the show. I mean, he's absolutely addicted to the show. And he sort of, and my work on fantasy football, he said to me, I've got every single VHS of every programme you did. I thought, well, I haven't. That's unbelievable. So that was great to meet them.
They were great. It's really fascinating chatting to them. They're just out in a place called Baja, about 30 minutes from here. And that's where all the referees stay in the places. And there's a real kind of camaraderie between them. The Turkish referee and some of the Dutch team are in the bar at the same time. And they're kind of, you know, having a bit of a jokey pop at each other. But there's a referee and a couple of linesmen from El Salvador just found out they've got a game. And they were all there hugging them and, you know, giving them handshakes, saying, well done, guys, it's fantastic. So it's a real brotherhood amongst all the officials, definitely.
What have you made of the refereeing at this tournament? Because it started off, there was a bit of criticism in a couple of the early matches. But overall, how have you felt that it's compared?
Well, I think the problem is that the guy that allocates, Massimo Bosaco, who allocates the referees, he's got a very difficult job. You've got to try and not have when there's a European and South American team, you try and have another ref. But if it's of a certain standard, they've got to have a higher standard of ref, and so it is very difficult. And some of the things they've done, really, what they do, we love referees, and no referee ever does anything, I promise you this, than call it as they see it. But don't put the guys in the position. So, for example, the first game, Japan versus Brazil, they put Brazil versus Croatia. They put a Japanese referee in charge. You are aware that the Japanese population of Brazil is the biggest outside of Japan. Why would you do that? Again, the game on the big talking point, the England-Uruguay game, a Spanish ref who knows Godin, who comes from Madrid, who referees those players at least 15 or 20 times a season. Why not give it a Dutch referee, an Italian referee, a German referee? Why put the guy on offer like that so that afterwards people go, well, anybody else would have sent him off? And it changed the game. It was a real game changer. So that's my main view of the referee. Otherwise, I think they've done okay.
The flip side of that, of course, is that they would argue Uruguay, they've got a European referee, and that puts them at a disadvantage. So they would, the counterpoint to that, okay, he speaks their language and he knows some of their players, but they would argue he'll come at it from a European ref's point of view, which is very different. The refereeing, I think we saw last night, fairly horrendous tackle on Raul Morales. Who not only got taken from behind, then got an elbow in the face, and didn't even get a yellow card, Beckerman, the USA player. And I think the feeling is he's been a little bit lenient, and I think once we get into the next stage, they might be getting a little bit more hard line. I can't believe that's not filtering down from the top. So, they've been cutting them far more slack than you would normally imagine, really.
Bless you.
Sights and sounds of Rio, something to behold. Is there anything left on your wish list? Where are you heading to next?
We're going to go to Santa Teresa, which is a nice little area, apparently. We went to Lapa the other night, which is a very lively sort of district. It's kind of kids. I mean, people listening at home from Liverpool, it's kind of Concert Square, Matthew Street on a Saturday night. It's full of very young people, all had a drink, and much like Concert Square, Matthew Street, certainly my experience, no trouble. It's a night. Bless you, Lindsay. It's a nice atmosphere, and
I picked up a cold.
It's a bit like that, with respect.
Now you've given it to us, marvellous.
In terms of that area, not the city as a whole, before we get Liverpool fans getting up, fantastic architecture. It's a lot of warehousey buildings, and they light the area really nice. You should definitely go and check that out if you're here.
You should stick around till Lindsay finishes that caper in. She'll sneeze full in your face.
Yeah. No problem. It's the pet petrol, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's got to. It's diesel, actually. It's not petrol, don't worry.
Either that or she'll offer you a sip.
Yeah. Also, go for a swim in the sea. I've not done that yet. I know you have, and you've lived to tell the tale. So, Shira was telling us he's been going in there most days, and he's not come down with anything. So the water's cleaner up by Ipanema and Leblon, they say, than Copacabana. But I'm going in, definitely going in before.
Bearing in mind that Alan Shearer is a Geordie as well, so the Geordies can pretty much put up with any level of temperature and any level of sewage.
Yeah, you're probably right, actually, yeah. So he's been fine.
Thank you very much both. I'll swallow my caipirinha first.
It's those first couple of mouthfuls. You can't speak. Honestly, it goes. It's the sugar and everything. Yeah. It goes right to your head.
Thank you very much for speaking to us, and thanks for having us on your show.
It's called Media Cannibalism.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Blowing smoke up each other's backsides. That's what we do love in this business. You scratch my back and I'll scratch yours.
Let's just get quickly from you how this rates as a World Cup amongst all the ones that you've been to. Is this going to be one of the standout ones for you? We were talking to Adrian Durham later. He said Germany was fantastic, South Africa not so much for him, but he by far and away thinks this has been the best World Cup for him so far.
Well, this is our first one at TalkSport. I was in America. I saw a couple of games in the USA. I saw the final at USA 94, which wasn't a great game, but was a great experience to be at a World Cup final. And I was in Germany for a little period of time, just as a punter, during 2006. This is the first time we've worked on a World Cup for TalkSport away from home in a concentrated way like this. And the fact that football's been brilliant, it's been the icing on the cake, the experience has been brilliant. So, yeah, we've absolutely loved it. And you kind of sense a lot of people have thrown a lot of money at this one because they probably don't fancy Russia and they certainly don't fancy Qatar. So they felt like this might be the first one for the next one for the next 12 years, not going to get another chance to do it. So they've made the effort.
I've been going to football for 57 years now, and I've never been to a World Cup before this, and I've only ever been to two World Cup games. I went in 1966, I went to see, I think it was England-Mexico, I can't remember England-France, Bobby Charlton scored.
Yeah, what a goal that was.
A great goal, and that was 2-0, so I remember that game. It was a lot better than the one I went to yesterday. It was a right stinker, really. Still, I was in the sun, my tan's good, I've got a lovely tan, so I'm not complaining. That's been our mantra here.
Yeah.
Because people
don't
back
complain,
home,
yeah.
Yeah, people back home, you know. I turned up here, this is true, actually, and I'd only been in the flat a couple of minutes, but I know this part of the world. I spend a lot of time in South America, and in the winter I know how hot it gets. It's about 40-41 degrees, and our flat, though it's beautiful as you've seen, there's no air conditioning. So I happen to say, I can't believe there's no air conditioning in this flat. So Adrian Durham, the devil, he tweeted, Andy Jacobs has only been here 5 minutes. He's already complaining about the fact there's no air conditioning. Oh, I got dog's abuse on Twitter. You know, really, people say, oh, you should know. I can't even tell you what they said to me. So we really are genuinely not complaining. Yeah. Like yourselves, it's just wonderful to be here. It really is a fabulous, fabulous experience.
Although when you first walked into the TalkSport studio/lounge, you both said, oh, it's been fun, but it's been hard work. And we're saying, don't say that on air. You know, if you're driving around the West End in 80 degrees at the moment, or up in Newcastle, Liverpool, and Manchester, and you're driving a taxi and you're stuck in traffic, they don't want to hear four people saying, "Oh, we're working so hard while we're here." So it's all relative, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us, lads. Best of luck for the rest of your time here. How long are you out here for now? When do you go?
We leave on Friday. We were hoping to be here, and we're hoping to go back and watch England in the next stage. They're going to be home before us, which is very sad, but it's been a great 2 weeks.
And my other big hope is I hope we get upgraded on the way home.
Yeah, that's it. We did on the way out.
Did you?
And he pulled a few strokes with an old mate of his. Yeah, we did.
I'll tell you what, it's that Southern Comfort advert, isn't it?
Yeah.
Going hugely viral. I recommend turning up at the airport in those little black trunks and seeing how you get on.
They'll turn me away.
Thanks very much.
No worries.
The female take on football, and this time from Brazil.